Yeah, I know what you're saying. Hey, I'm very interested in voting for a guy, but I only vote for a guy who's got a dog named Lincoln. Well, if that is your criteria, my friends, you're going to like Doug Truax. He's on the line right now. Doug, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. My kids are going to love the fact that you just mentioned the dog.
I was reading about you, and I love the fact that your dog's name is Lincoln. That's a cool name.
Yeah, well, it was originally we were originally going to get a girl, and then it was supposed to be Penny, which I wasn't crazy about. And then we got a male dog, and then it turned into, well, Lincoln's on the penny. We live in Illinois, and so we went with that.
Trying to talk my wife into naming our dog Reagan. It's kind of on the fence right now. We're still working on it.
Right, yeah, I keep working on it.
These negotiations take a little bit of time.
They do.
Doug, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, great. So I'm 43. I've been married to Nicole for 21 years. We have three teenagers, and we live in Downers Grove, and I work in Oak Brook, all in DuPage, and I do employee benefit consulting for companies that are of some size. Our average client size is about 500 employees, so I do a lot of medical self-funding and wellness plans and things like that. So we're a consulting firm, and that's what we work on. And then going further back, I went to West Point. I graduated in 92. I was 6 years active duty Army, Ranger School, Airborne, General's Aide, all that fun stuff. And then I got out as a captain, and then I went to work in corporate America for about 10 years. And then after that, I went out on my own with my partner almost 6 years ago. And then, like I said, I do employee benefit consulting.
So what drew you to the Senate race? This is a 2014 race. There'll be a primary, of course, before the general election. But you're going against an incumbent, one of the highest-ranking Democrats in the Senate in Dick Durbin. And let's just be frank, some of the candidates previous years against Dick Durbin have not exactly been scintillating. I think Steve Sauerberg was the last Republican candidate.
Yeah, that falls along with the not scintillating.
Yeah. So what was it about this race that caused you to jump in?
Well, you look at where we're at in Illinois and the country. I mean, it's just incredible age of decline that we're in, and Durbin and his policies are at the heart of it. And by any measure here in Illinois, population, jobs, economy, the budget, education, ethics, it's just we've been on decline, and our stature as one of the most important states in the country has been diminished over these years. And we hire our politicians to be leaders and public servants that will go get us results. And the results are clearly not in. So I understand that Durbin's, a powerful guy, close friends with the president, all that stuff, but it's a different time. And it's a midterm election, and we have got Obamacare rolling through, and we've got the IRS scandals, and we've got Durbin asking the IRS to target groups, and we've got Benghazi, and we've got all kinds of stuff going on. And you ask me why I'm doing this? Well, I just got tired of complaining. And I said, I'm going to go do something about this because I can't watch these guys do this anymore. And the professional politician has not served us well, especially in Dick Durbin's case. And I think that people will put his record of failure up against my record of success in the Army and service to my country and my clients and my employees and my family and my community. And they'll say, hey, Durbin's taking us the wrong way, and this guy's going to take us in a better direction. And I think they'll go our way.
I think, maybe it is your background, West Point, Army Ranger and all that. You do not seem very intimidated by the idea of taking on Mr. Durbin.
Well, people ask me, shouldn't you do something different before you, run for Senate? And first off, I'm only a non-politician once, and I don't, there's no stipulation in the Constitution that you have to be a county board member and then you got to go be a state rep and a state senator and all these types of things. It's very clear on citizenship and age, and that's simply because at some point, you take a look at a professional politician like Dick Durbin, and he's just basically concerned about his next election. He's not really, if he was concerned about us, he'd be doing different things to charge the economy up, to delay Obamacare, to whatever he would think that he could, help us out here in the economy that's continually stagnating. And so guys like me eventually say, you know what, he's not, I know he's a powerful politician, but that doesn't mean I can't beat him. And I've got a great background, and I think that especially Republican primary voters are going to enjoy my background. Then I'm going to get the word out about who I am and where I'd take the country if I was a senator from Illinois. And I think that's going to win the day when it's all said and done.
Doug Truax is with us, candidate for U.S. Senate. DougTruax.com is his website, T-R-U-A-X. is the last name spelling. It's Riley and Scott here on WYOK. This is kind of fertile ground these past few months for you, Doug, I would guess. You've got Dick Durbin, as we talked about the IRS scandal, asking the IRS to target American Crossroads, make an example of them. You've got Dick Durbin basically asking to the government to identify, define, and license journalists across the country.
Yeah.
You've got him holding these Stand Your Ground hearings, targeting ALAC, basically saying, are you now or have you ever been friends with conservatives? Please come to the Senate and tell us yes or no. Mm. It seems every week we have to come on the show here and apologize to the rest of the country that Dick Durbin's representing us here in Illinois.
Yeah, and it gets that way. You know, I moved up here, you know, being in the Army and moved around and different things. I moved up here in 2000, and it was still a little bit of a joke as far as, oh, well, you know, we've got these corrupt politicians and everything. But when Blagojevich went to prison, and everybody started saying, you know, I think we're turning into a joke to the rest of the country. And that really got under my skin. I think it's under the skin of everybody else. And we have people like Dick Durbin doing exactly what you say. He doesn't care about the First Amendment. I wish he would read the First Amendment and start acting like he understands it, because he clearly is out to get whoever he doesn't agree with. And so not only does he advocate for the wrong policies, he's harassing and intimidating donors of people that support those, you know, the policies that he disagrees with. So that's not what we want in a senator. I mean, I make this vow. I will, no, as a senator from Illinois, I will never target another citizen of the state or this country, even if I really disagree with what they're saying. I mean, it's just not what you do in this country. So he's just, you know, I think you get to this place as a professional politician, especially what he's been through in terms of some of his races and how he's won. He just kind of says, you know what, I'm going to do whatever I want. And I frankly can't watch him do it anymore.
Got to ask you, though, with your background, too, because it has stuck in my craw these many years, his disparagement of American troops during the Abu Ghraib incidents and all that. Did that have a little bit of a spark for you, too?
Well, sure, way back when it happened, you know, and I get asked all the time now, as a veteran, people want me to bring it back up and bring it to the fore. And I certainly will, because even he put that so-called apology out. You know, he goes to the Senate floor, and it's almost like he has moments of clarity where his true intentions and his true heart slip out. And we see it happen, and we got it on film. And I think every Illinoian, no matter if you're conservative or liberal or independent, you know, we support our troops. You know, those are the people that raise their hand and will give their life in support and defense of the Constitution and not just simply sit behind a desk or sit on the Senate floor. And so for him to go down there and say things like that, it's extremely offensive. And we see who he really is when he does things like that. And we see who he really is when they push through Obamacare, you know, midnight on Christmas Eve. And it's a half-baked idea that's a total train wreck for the country. And even now with the push to say, hey, that nobody wants this thing and we should definitely stop it, their own pride and their arrogance keeps them pushing it forward. And I think that, you know, you ask me, how do you take a guy like him on? A huge part of this is point out what he's doing. I mean, it's just terrible what's going on, and I just can't take it anymore.
Doug Truax with us, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, DougTruax.com, his website, Riley and Scott, here on WROK. You mentioned Obamacare as we speak. Senator Ted Cruz from Texas continues his filibuster speech on the floor of the U.S. Senate, heading up on 20 hours of talking about, well, Obamacare and other things as well, green eggs and ham, little story for his kids.
You've got that kind of endurance, don't you, Doug?
Yeah, I could do it.
All right.
I could stand on my head for a week if I needed to.
This is a big fight. This is a big talk among even just the Republican conference in the Senate about how to handle this upcoming vote, how to handle the possible defunding of Obamacare. What's your read on what Ted Cruz is doing and how this might move forward in the Senate?
Yeah, well, just to talk about Obamacare to begin with, and we'll talk about Cruz too, but, you know, this has turned into such a partisan effort because it was a partisan effort to begin with. I mean, not a single Republican vote in the Senate and not a single Republican vote in the House passed the most significant legislation in the modern era. And the reason it's so terrible is because when they passed it through on Christmas Eve midnight in the Senate in 2009, they thought they'd get it back in the conference because they had all the votes to bring it back when the House passed their version. But then Scott Brown got elected in Massachusetts, and so they didn't have that vote anymore. And so they took this half-baked idea and sent it through the House. Nancy Pelosi didn't read it, and here we go, right? So they don't even know what's in it. You know, they got this exemption that they're trying to get because they're you know, the Congress and their staffers are forced to take it, and that
right.
was in there. Obviously, nobody read that because now they're complaining about it. But anyways, you know, we get to this place where Ted Cruz, I know we take a lot of, there's a lot of procedural gymnastics to get through in the Senate to get this done, and I get that. But, you know, people standing on principle is where I think American citizens and the citizens of Illinois are waiting for people to come up and say, "Hey, I'm going to stand on this, and I'm going to stand this ground. I'm not going to move from it." That's what we watched Ted Cruz, and I admire the guy for doing that. I mean, he's going to stand on this, and he's saying, "A majority of the people of the country don't want it. It's not going to work. It's going to be totally extended." We've got just yesterday in Olympia Fields, Franciscan St. James Hospital laid off 125 yep. people because of Obamacare. And that's just the beginning. And there's going to be so much that's coming through. And we as Republicans have to stand up and say, we have got to stop this any way we possibly can. And that's what he's doing, and I admire what he's doing right now.
Spending some time with Doug Drux. He's running for Senate, and we're getting to know him a little bit. You know, Mr. Durbin was one that we heard use the line anecdotal, as you just described the hospital. It's going to lay off a bunch of people. We've had story after story after story about companies that are cutting back and cutting back and cutting back because of Obamacare. Things that Dick Durbin calls, well, that's just anecdotal. That's not really what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's going to be hard for him to deny that as we go forward here, because the... You know, at some point, the amount of stories that start to happen, when you look at the amount of people, they're going to go from 40 hours to 29 hours. I mean, it's going to be millions of people. They're going to go from 40 hours to 29 hours and then they're going to lose their benefits, too, because of Obamacare. So if you're making 12, 15 bucks an hour, whatever it is, and you take a 27.5% pay cut, I mean, we've never had anything like this happen in the history of the country. So he can talk anecdotal all he wants, but I deal with companies that are faced with this stuff all the time, and they're making business decisions that they have to make. And then what he'll probably start to do is demonize the companies for doing it, but in reality, if they were to continue on, they would just have to raise their prices, and they'd go out of business that way. But that just goes to the fact that, I've created more jobs in my last 5.5 years in my company than Dick Durbin has in his whole career, because he doesn't understand how the economy works, he doesn't understand how business works, he doesn't understand that the more regulations you put on the economy, the worse it's going to perform. And he's just a tax and spend liberal clinging to that 1960s liberal ideology, and he's not going to change. And so we got to say to ourselves, look, after this next election, if we think that he gets reelected and he's somebody different and we go a different direction, that is clearly not going to happen. So that's why the results aren't in. We got to make a change.
Doug Truax with us, candidate for U.S. Senate. Doug, Chicago, crime out of control, murder capital of the country, we now hear. This shooting this past weekend, 13 people shot, just seemingly. I know the numbers say they're going down, apparently. That's what Chicago PD says, but it doesn't seem that way, certainly. You've got the economy here in the state. We were just talking about this yesterday. Since the beginning of 2013, Illinois, the labor force has declined by more than 100,000 people who have just given up or left the state. And the number of people employed in Illinois just since the start of 2013 is down more than 110,000.
That's right.
What things in the U.S. Senate can be done to reverse those trends?
Yeah, and I'll add another one in there. You know, when he was last reelected, unemployment was 5.2%, and now it's 9.2%. So there's almost 400,000 people not working in Illinois. 400,000 people not working in Illinois that were working back when he was first reelected. So it really goes to the heart of what I was just saying a second ago. He's a tax and spend liberal, and his only solution is more debt. And the more debt we have, the more taxes we're going to have, and the more the companies and the owners and everybody else is going to have to pay taxes, and the less they're going to be likely that they're not going to hire, because they're just going to think to themselves, why would I hire a bunch of people only to get taxed and have to lay them off again and let them go? And so it's just this continuing stagnation. There's a couple things we could do, and this is where I'd start as a United States Senator, is to say, look, let's just stop the growth of the federal government and start shrinking it overall. That sends a message to the business community that the taxes are going to go down, the regulations are going to go down, the intrusion of the government and everything they're doing is going to start to recede. Okay, that gives them confidence. And the second thing is long-lasting, meaningful tax reform. Okay, we love baseball because we know how to win, we know the rules, we can watch it, everybody can play along.
Mm-hmm.
These guys keep changing the rules. All right, they're changing the rules all the time for the business community, and it creates nothing but uncertainty. So if we sent the message that the federal government's done growing, and we sent the message that here's long-term tax certainty, reduce corporate rates, reduce individual rates, close loopholes, all those types of things that just reduce the complexity and the cost of all this, and do it for a long period of time, I'm telling you, as a business owner, the economy is poised for huge growth, and we can get back there very quickly. But as long as Dick Durbin, at least in this election coming up, 2014, stands in the way, and then we've got to get a president that is in favor of these types of policies in 2016, we can get back to the American dream of growing the economy and people moving, you know, the upward mobility that we all have seen over the decades that we're starting to feel like we're losing a decade here, and we can get it back, though.
Doug, just a quick thing closer to home. Can we count on you spending more time then on Illinois-based issues rather than a nationally-based issue like Stand Your Ground that really we didn't send you there to cover?
Yeah, right. So you asked about, you know, violence in the city, and so what does a United States senator do? He tries to do what's right for his state. In Dick Durbin's world, he does this, you know, Stand Your Ground hearing that has nothing to do with anything that's happened in the south side of Chicago. So, I just think that, Dick Durbin's gotten very used to living inside the castle walls in D.C. and being a powerful guy out there, but not delivering results for us back here. I've been to D.C. a number of times just since I've started my campaign, just to talk to different people and get some support from key groups out there, which is going great. But it's a different world out there, and not in a good way.
Boy, that's so true.
We need to shift our focus away from Washington, D.C. and out to the people, all right? Because we don't need to have, there's 314 million of us, right? We've got 535 people in D.C., deciding way too much for our lives anymore. And so that's what's really dragging us all down, dragging the economy down. And yeah, absolutely, I would spend, you know, my life is here, and I like my life. So you go to D.C. as little as possible. Sure, you're going to forge some alliances and try to get, common sense things done. But as far as going out there to create new laws and new programs, I mean, I'm not that guy at all. So, you know, I definitely keep my roots close to home.
Doug, how do people find out more about you?
Well, just like you said, DougTruax.com is the website, T-R-U-A-X. We've got everything up there. We just have been overwhelmed by the encouragement that we've gotten from donations, and Facebook took off, and Twitter, and all these things. So it's all up there. I've got some previous speeches and interviews and different things up on there, too. People can also text Doug to 313131. And that'll get them everything they need to know how to get involved. But, we're traveling the state, and everywhere I go, the ideas are resonating because they're just common sense. You know, they're common sense conservative ideas that will save the economy, rescue the economy, really rescue the poor and the middle class from what Dick Durbin and Barack Obama are doing to them right now.
Doug Trucks, we really appreciate you taking time to be on with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me on. I look forward to talking to you more.